Father, we live in a nation where we can openly speak about Jesus and we don't have to be afraid for our lives. We heard John say they couldn't stay in Turkey any longer. They would not allow them there because they love you, Lord Jesus, and they were planting churches. Father, we lift them up now and we ask you, Lord, to let there be fruit from their ministry, that there really will be a church there one day, that will get a video that shows they've planted a church and there are believers there that are going to be meeting. So, Father, guide and direct them. Lord, at the same time, help us this morning to be thankful for what we have here in our nation, the freedom to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, good morning. Wasn't that some awesome, beautiful white rain we had yesterday? So this morning we are in John chapter 20 and the Let It Happen. This morning I want to talk to you about letting what God has for you happen again, but it's going to come with a caution to be able to discern and not let things that are not from God happen, okay? So we are in John chapter 20. I'm going to begin in the 24th verse, all right? Jesus has risen from the dead. He's appeared to the disciples. And now we're going to pick it up in the 24th verse because there was one guy missing. How many people have ever heard the phrase, doubting Thomas? Yeah. This is personally my feeling, but I think he gets a bad rap, okay? And I think he lands properly. But we're going to read the text this morning. I believe we have a lot that we can learn from it. So it says, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Wouldn't it be something to hear him just say that in person like that? The risen Christ. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Verse 30, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Father, I pray for that life today. I pray for the faith. I pray that we could stop doubting today. And Lord, I pray we could appreciate our salvation and what you've freely given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're following in your outline, the first point, Thomas did not believe his friend's testimony about Jesus. See, Thomas wasn't there. We don't know where he was. Personally, between you and me, I think this was a setup by God and the Holy Spirit so we could read the text as we read it this morning and we could learn. But Thomas did not believe his friend's testimony about Jesus. I want you to stop for a minute and think about how you got saved, if you've been saved. If you haven't, today's the day of salvation for you. We'll help you pray a prayer and meet Jesus before the end of the day. But here's the point. How did you get to know Jesus? I believe somebody probably talked to you. Did you believe their testimony? I was thinking about this morning, you know, for the first 30 years of my life, Jesus Christ was mostly part of a cuss word for me. And people would tell me things about Jesus, but I didn't believe them. And it says here, Thomas didn't believe. He didn't believe their testimony. They said, "We have seen the Lord." There's a bunch of this in Scripture. In John chapter 1, Nathanael, you know, is found by Philip, I believe, finds him, and he says, hey, we found the Messiah. We found the Christ. You know, he's from Nazareth. You remember what he said? He said, hey, can anything good come out of Nazareth? What are you talking about? Unbelief, doubt. You got to be kidding me. And they said, hey, the Lord's been here. And he said, nah, I don't know. On the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, two guys are walking along the road, and Jesus, unrecognized by them, walks with them all the way to Emmaus. And it says he was explaining to them. They were saying, well, this happened. Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. You know, he's walking with them, and they don't see it. They don't recognize him. It says he opened their mind to the Scriptures. He explained to them. Then it says when they broke bread together, they recognized him and he was taken away. Unbelief. When you read the accounts of Jesus right after the resurrection, people would come and say, the Lord is risen. And it says they were slow to believe. I'm here to say this morning, we've all been there, you see. We've all gone through this. I mean, and when they do see Jesus, a lot of times they thought it was a ghost. Isn't it interesting how he says to Thomas, here, touch my hands, put your fingers in here. Know that it's me. Know that there's proof that I've risen from the dead. So see, through all this, one more thing you want to know is, in the Gospel of Matthew, you know, they've paid the soldiers to lie. They've paid the Roman soldiers to lie and say that his disciples came and stole his body, so there was no resurrection. Yet there's so much proof of it. How did you come to hear about Jesus? At the same time, are you telling others about him? And you might find the same thing. They don't believe you. You keep talking about this Jesus guy all the time. See, keep talking, church. Keep talking. One thing that's very clear to me when I look at Thomas and his life, here's your next point. Thomas loved Jesus and wanted to be with him. You see, sometimes you get this, well, he's a doubting Thomas. You know, don't be a doubting Thomas. It's like he's a second-class citizen. So the point again, Thomas loved Jesus and he wanted to be with him. Back up to the Gospel of John chapter 11, all right? The Gospel of John chapter 11. And it's the point where Lazarus has died, you see. Now, the last time Jesus left Lazarus's town, they were going to stone him, okay? They were very upset with him, and him and his disciples could have died, and they got out of Dodge, all right? They left. Now, they get a word that Lazarus has died. And Jesus says to his disciples, let's go back. And his disciples say, let's go at night, so they don't see us. He said, no, you go at night, you stumble. And they're like, man, do you remember what happened there last time? And Jesus says, Lazarus is asleep. And the disciples actually say, you can read this and check me out. The disciples actually say, if he's sleeping, Lord, everything will be okay. What they didn't realize is, to God, when somebody dies, they're just sleeping. So he finally had to say, Lazarus has died. Now listen to what Thomas says. Remember the point, Thomas loved Jesus and wanted to be with him. Verse 16, Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Does that sound like a doubter to you? The point again that I want you to see is Thomas loved Jesus and he wanted to be with him. I want to ask you this morning, church, do you love Jesus and do you really want to be with him? And to what extent would you go to be with him? What amount of peer pressure will cause you to deny him? See, do you really love him like this? I think it's amazing. Thomas said, let's go with him, let's die with him. I'm telling you, folks, that's somebody that loves somebody. Do we love Jesus that much? It's such a great question for the church today. Now, I said he loved him and he wanted to be with him, all right? John chapter 14 and verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going and how can we know the way? Have you ever been a set-up man for somebody? I think Thomas set Jesus up for the most awesome slam dunk in the world right here. Because you should all know what follows. I'll bet all of you, when I read it, are going to go, I've heard that before. But what set up the phrase and the statement that Jesus makes in 14:6? Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Why did he say it? Because he wanted to know where Jesus was going to be, and he wanted to be with him. And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, when I look at Thomas, I don't go, you're some doubter. I go, man, did you play a part in my salvation? And his question brought Jesus to those awesome words where he said, I'm the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and you can't come to my dad unless you come through me. The point again, Thomas loved Jesus and he wanted to be with him. Church, where's your heart today? Do you want to be with Jesus? Do you really love him? If it means you got to shut off the game for a few minutes and study his word, will you? Tough one. Now look at your next point. Thomas was clear about what it would take for him to believe. Are you clear about what it would take for you? You see, Thomas says, now listen, you guys, unless I put my finger in the nail prints here and I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it's Jesus. See, he wouldn't believe their testimony, but he was clear about what it would take. Now, there's a great old book. It's called Living by the Book. I think it was by Howard Hendricks, and I would suggest Bo's nodding because he graduated from that school. And Bo's saying yes, and I would suggest you would get that book, but I can remember the beginning of that book. Howard Hendricks said, when you read Scripture, you should be like Sherlock Holmes. And when I read this, and he says, unless I touch the nail prints and unless I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe, it tells me something. You know what it tells me as a Sherlock Holmes reading the Bible? It tells me that Thomas was at the cross and he saw what they did to Jesus. And if he wasn't there, then he took the testimony of one of his friends and he knew that his hands had been pierced and his side had been pierced. I also want to throw this in for a little side note here. Roman soldiers, when they pierced somebody in the side, they didn't miss, and they pierced them in the side for one reason. It was to stick them right in the heart and make sure they were dead. And that Roman soldier pierced Jesus, and he pierced his heart. That's why it says blood and water gushed out, because all the blood that was left in Jesus' body had gone to his heart. And then when that happens physically, the doctors will tell you that there's a water sac around there and it's trying to take all the blood left in Jesus and protect him so his heart could keep beating and he could live. That's how our body works. And that Roman soldier pierced Jesus in the heart. And then Paul wrote later in Romans, we have been grafted in to where? To the heart of Christ. You ready for another one? When Thomas said, I want to put my hand in that, in the piercing in his side, put my hand in his side, he was taking his hand and he was actually going to touch the heart of Christ. Think about it for just a moment. Could you imagine touching the wound? My goodness. Now back to the point again. Thomas was clear about what it would take. You know, you're all in here and I look around and I go, yeah, that person's saved. I know they know the Lord, they love him. And I look at this, but is there a part of the gospel you don't believe? Have maybe you taken the gospel as it's a buffet and you're going to take your plate and take what you like and you're going to be like me, you're going to leave those green veggies? Boy, I get a lot of heat from that. Don't take the veggies. But are you that way with the gospel, you see? And if there's something you don't believe, or if there's something that you're not sure about, are you clear about what it would take and why you believe it and why you don't believe it? And Thomas was so clear. He said, if I can see those nail prints and I can see where they pierced him, then I believe. You see, be clear about it. If you're witnessing to somebody and they don't believe in Jesus, say, what would it take? It's a great question. What would it take? You know what you're going to find? They're not very clear about it. Some people are just like, well, I don't know, you know. They won't let you pin them down. Stick with it. Keep asking them. What would it take? Because the minute they say to me, this is what it take, I go, okay, Lord, you heard it. Let's get them. You see, Lord, what would it take? How could they know? So Thomas was very clear about it. Now look at the next point. Thomas identified Jesus by his wounds. How do you identify Jesus? It's going to be very important by the end of this message because I want to compel you to be discerning. How do you identify Jesus? See? If somebody says to you, hey, Jesus came and saw me this morning, how are you going to identify him? How are you going to know it was Jesus, right? And he was very clear. He identified Jesus by his wounds. All the way through the book of Revelation, every place you really look at the real Jesus, you'll find that those wounds are there. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is described as a lamb that has been slain. If you have the YouVersion, all right, Bible application, and you go to videos, you will find something there by Tim Mackey, all right, the Bible Project. And recently, I studied the book of Revelation with some friends in a Bible study. And I showed them Mackey's overview of Revelation. And this blew me away. It's just something I wasn't even prepared for. Every time they show Jesus, they show him in the overview. And John says, it looked like a lamb that was slain. And when he illustrates it, he doesn't draw Jesus, a man. He draws a lamb that was slain with blood dripping down. It had such an impact on me. How do you identify the one true God, the real Jesus? He has the wounds, you see. And so Thomas was very clear about it. Your next point, Jesus was willing to be the proof Thomas needed to believe. You know, Jesus could have said, tough luck, Thomas. I'm not going to show up just for you. It appears to me he did. And he was willing to be the proof, you see. I also want you to notice in the scripture that says the doors were locked. They were afraid that the Jews were going to come and do the same to them that they did to Jesus, to really wipe out this movement called the Way, Christianity. And with doors locked, it says Jesus came and stood with them. Is there anybody in here trying to keep Jesus out this morning? You see, locked doors won't do it. Only a hard heart can do it. And Jesus stood among them. He was willing to be there. Now you're going, yeah, but Jesus isn't going to walk through the back doors and talk to us this morning. Well, he could. Don't know about you guys, but I'd be hitting the deck. But what about us today? You know what we have? We have His Word, don't we? We have the written Word of God. We have the power of His Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. If you're in here this morning and if you have any doubts and you're wondering about Jesus, I just exhort you this morning to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, show yourself to me. Teach me. I don't understand this. Help me. What's the truth, Lord Jesus? Show me. And I'm here to tell you, if you'll get into His Word and if you'll get into prayer on your knees and if you seek God, my Bible says you will find Him. But we have the Word of God and we have the power of the Holy Spirit, all right? Another thing you could do, if you're doubting at all, go to our website and look up Braxton Hunter and Jonathan Pritchett and what they talked about here and the proof for the resurrection. See, that's what we're really talking about here. They were going to prove to Thomas, Jesus was proving to Thomas that he rose from the dead. And if you listen to those men, I think you're going to have a hard time arguing with them. You're going to see Jesus really did rise up from the dead. So Jesus was willing to be the proof that Thomas needed. And then your next point, Thomas was fortunate to have Jesus for proof, to be there in person saying, touch me. We can learn so much from this about a glorified body and so on and so forth. And I don't have time to go through it, but I just encourage you, read it and meditate on the Word of God. He was fortunate there, and Jesus came to him and he said, "Here, Thomas, don't stay in your unbelief." Next point, Jesus used this event to teach us how blessed we are to believe without seeing. Do you see the words here that Jesus speaks, all right, in verse 29? "Because you have seen me, you have believed." Now look at, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Turn to somebody and say, "We are blessed." When was the last time you woke up in the morning and said, "I am so blessed, Lord, that you've revealed yourself to me"? And maybe I haven't seen you in person, but I've been saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. We need to learn to appreciate how blessed we are. I love the words in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, "Though you have not seen him." Isn't it interesting? I want you to know Peter was in the room when Jesus came in and said, "Hey, Thomas, touch me." He was there. And then it almost makes me weep when I read his words. "Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy." And then the next verse, which isn't up there, but it says, "You're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Hallelujah. Though you have not seen him, you believe. I can keep you here for a long time this morning, which I won't, telling you how God revealed himself to me when I came to know Jesus Christ. And it was just, I could not argue. And if you will seek him, you will find him. All right, so that's the text, and that's taking the text and walking through it. Now turn to somebody and say, "This is Pastor Dave's opinion." Go ahead. You ready? But I think it's biblical. Look at your next point. Only let it happen with the real Jesus. You see, I know this isn't the point of this text, and there are other texts, but I really believe I have to tell you this morning, you have to be like Thomas, and you have to identify the real Jesus with his wounds. And church, we live in the end times today. And I hear all kinds of things. Oh, God's doing this over here, and God's doing that, you see. And maybe we should go over here because I hear he's doing this or working there. I want to caution you this morning. Only let this stuff happen with the real Jesus. We have to learn to be discerning. Now, here's another theory I have. I think maybe Thomas was really, really a wonderful student. Go to Matthew with me, chapter 24. Because when I read this text and I meditate on it, and then I think of the words that Jesus spoke that Thomas heard. When he said, "No, I want to see the nail prints. I want to put my hand in his side." What would compel him to be so cautious? Was it just not that he didn't have faith, or was he being very discerning? Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many." Are we sure we're following the real Jesus? Further in Matthew 24, verses 23 through 25, "At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform," now listen, "great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time." Ooh. Church, in the last days, we need to be more into the Word of God than we've ever been before. And we need to take heed to the words of Jesus, and we need to look at Thomas and his actions. And he says, "When I see that he's got the nail prints in his hand, and I see his side, then I know it's him because I saw him die on the cross, and I want to make sure that I'm going to worship the one true God." And I think the church today is going to get pulled all over, and they're going to be tossed by every wave of the sea. All the doctrines that are out there, okay? Listen to what John says in 1 John, the first three verses. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Isn't that something? Don't believe every spirit. Turn to somebody and say, we better make sure Pastor Dave's preaching the truth. Go ahead, say it today. See, you have to discern. You have to say, did he open the word? Did he take it out of context? That's why I said to you, what I'm telling you right now isn't exactly, you know, the Bible scholars will say, you know, that really wasn't in the text with Thomas. But it's very important that we become discerning like Thomas. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Boy, you should have be on the edge of your seat saying, I got to get this. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Church, we have to be discerning. When somebody comes to me and they say, oh, we went to this meeting and it was awesome and there were signs and wonders going on and, you know, people were falling under the power of the Spirit and they were doing this and they were doing that. My first question is, who was leading it? Do you know the person? Are they saved? They look at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, did you ask? Do you know anything about it? Who's their pastor? Who are they accountable to? When people come and talk to us, we ask them, do you have a reference? Do you have a pastor, you know, that we can check with to see what your walk is like? See, is it genuine? Is it really from God? Are they really following God? Is it a move from God? Now listen, please. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the supernatural. Jesus can raise the dead. He can do that. But it tells us so clearly. All right, and you can read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9 that when the enemy, you know, comes, he tries to take over and he will use lying signs and wonders. And church, in all honesty, you can be duped if you aren't discerning. And so in here this morning, there's such a cross section. And so we have to come to the point like this. I want you to be discerning. But how are you going to identify Jesus? You have to identify him. Are you the lamb who was slain? If an angel in light comes to me, my first question and appears to me is I'm going to say, do you believe in Jesus who died on the cross for me? When you speak that name Jesus, they will flee or there will be a peace. And you identify him, the one who died on the cross for me and rose from the dead. And if it's not from God, and if you're not at peace, they will flee. At the name of Jesus, they have to bow. And so this morning, I want you to believe, and I want you to have all God has for you, but I do not want you to be duped in the last days. And I'm here to tell you, you have to know this book so you know his voice. Two things have been happening to me in the last week. I've been remembering scriptures and just turning to them like I haven't done before. I'm like, wow, God, you're renewing my mind somehow here. I can't remember your names anymore, but I can remember scripture text. It's scary. You know what else is I'm realizing? I'm realizing I still don't know this well enough. That I need to swim in this and I need to dive as deep as I can and I need to learn more and more every day so I don't lead you astray. So Father, we come to you this morning and Father, if there's any doubt in here this morning like Thomas had, I pray it would leave in the name of Jesus. that, Lord, you would replace it with faith. Lord, help us to be clear about what it's going to take so that we can believe wholeheartedly with you and in you and be all in with you. And then, Father, watch over your church. It also says in Matthew 24 that in the end days, if the time hadn't been shortened, even the elect could be deceived. And, Father, we want to be a discerning church. Then, Lord, I want to ask you to move in the body of Christ. I want you to heal the sick. Lord Jesus, I want you to give us discernment. I want you to speak to us through your word and from the pulpit, Lord Jesus, and through each other. But I want it to be a genuine move of the power of the real Holy Spirit. So, Father, watch over your church. Lord, guide us and direct us today, but then, Lord, use us today. Use us to be your witness. And Lord, may those who don't believe, believe our testimony about you, that you died on the cross for our sins and you've risen from the dead. Go before us with the power of your Spirit. And Lord, help them to accept our testimony because it is true. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer this morning, we'd love to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go out there and be a witness for our Lord and Savior. Amen.